Thank you, Father Kevin, for taking our call today. It's a pleasure to speak with you. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks be to God. First day back in the office after spending 2 weeks on the Camino to Santiago.
Oh, thank you so very much for your message from Madrid. So, did you get a chance to hand out many invitations to the young people at World Youth Day in Madrid?
Yes, we distributed about 10,000 invitations, including the little badge of the Congress with the logo. And we met a number of people on the final day from some of the dioceses in Ontario, Hamilton and London. Ontario, they were both there at the stand.
Mm-hmm. And is the awareness increasing?
I think so. We're getting a lot of communication from all sorts of different sources, and the registration for the Congress, which is already gone live on our website, is moving along very well. We would be very comfortable with the level of registration at this stage.
Oh, wonderful. Now, I've been following the itinerary of the Congress Bell, and I'd like to speak to you today about the bell. I'd like our listeners to know more about the charming little bronze beacon of hope. So why was a bell chosen as the Congress symbol?
Well, there are two reasons, really. Sometimes these things suggest themselves initially not terribly seriously, and then when you think about them, it suddenly becomes clear that it was actually an inspiration. So somebody mentioned, because we were aware of the Ark of the New Covenant, which was used for the Congress in Quebec, that we should have something like this to promote an awareness of the spiritual message of the Congress and to invite people to participate. So somebody suggested, wouldn't it be lovely to use St. Patrick's Bell, which is something that dates back to very early Christian period in Ireland and which is in the National Museum. So the chances of our being invited to use it would be very slim. But then the idea began to take shape that, yes, actually, a bell, which has traditionally been the symbol of invitation to the Eucharist, would be a very useful and valid symbol to invite people's participation in the Eucharistic Congress as well. Because in all our parishes, the ringing of the church bell was something that we grew up with, and we knew how long we had to get to Mass on Sunday morning and so on. So that idea led to our search for a suitable bell. And we found a bell through the assistance of the Dominican sisters, which had been in a convent in Northern Ireland, just on the boundary between Derry and Antrim, and a place called Port Stewart. The convent had closed and the bell was not in use, but it's a bell that obviously for many, many years called the sisters to prayer and to the Eucharist in the community. So they kindly lent it to us, and we had it built into a wooden carrying frame, which allows it to be brought from place to place by two or four people, a little like a stretcher.
Mm-hmm.
And along with the bell, there is a plinth on which the bell sits then when it arrives, say, in a church or a nursing home or a school. And the Congress icons hang on the plinth. There are four icons representing four stages of our pastoral program. We have an icon of Mary and John at the foot of the cross representing assembly. The first assembly of the church, of course, was at the foot of the cross. Then we have an icon representing the word. It's called, the traditional name for it is Pantocrator. It's the icon of the eternal word holding the book of the Gospels. And then the liturgy of the Eucharist is prefigured by an icon of the prophet Elijah being nourished by the raven in the wilderness in preparation for his journey of encounter to the Holy Mountain. And finally, there's an icon of Pentecost representing the fact that even when the Mass is ended, the communion is not ended because we're being sent out to build communion in the community.
Were the icons painted in Ireland?
The icons were painted or written, is the technical term, by four well, actually by three members of the Irish Association of Iconographers at our request, and they were blessed in the Pro Cathedral in Dublin on St. Patrick's Day, and the second one in the cathedral in Armagh later that evening. The other two were blessed a little bit later, one by the Archbishop of Tuam at the National Eucharistic Congress in Knock, and the third, the final one by the Archbishop of Cashel in his cathedral on Pentecost Sunday, the Pentecost icon. So all four archbishops have had an opportunity to bless one of the icons and send it on its way.
Mm-hmm. Now, the bell has made its journey around Ireland, and I understand that it's coming home now from Lourdes.
It's coming home from Lourdes just this evening, in fact. It has so far been through the diocese of Northern Ireland and the west of Ireland and back through the Midlands, and has spent a little bit of time in Dublin, went out with the Dublin pilgrimage to Lourdes, and is now back in Dublin again for a few more days before going at the end of this week to the National Ploughing Championship, which is within the boundaries of the Archdiocese of Dublin. It's one of the biggest exhibition and, I suppose, one of the biggest events that takes place every year in Ireland. It's an agricultural event, but with a whole lot of other things attached. And so there's an ecumenical exhibit every year shared by the Anglican and Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Dublin. And this year they have invited us to join them and with the Eucharistic Congress bell.
And what has the reception like been in each parish? Are people allowed to go up and ring the bell? Do they touch the bell? How many times is the bell rung as soon as it reaches the parish? Is there protocol?
There are protocols in the sense that the bell is normally brought in procession into the church, preceded by the icons. Then there will be a liturgy. It could be a liturgy of the word. It might be a celebration of the Eucharist, or perhaps an evening prayer. And then as the bell comes into the church, usually there are pauses, a little bit like the way we bring the Paschal candle into the church at Easter, and the bell would be rung at the door and rung again halfway up the aisle and then rung again in the sanctuary. And that's, if you like, the formal protocol of it. But then at the end of the liturgies, classically what happens is that the people are invited to come up and, as you say, touch the bell, see the bell, ring the bell. And we had a report from a fairly early stage in the pilgrimage where a very elderly sister in a wheelchair who was blind was wheeled up and was unable to see the bell, but touched the bell and got a feel for the dimensions of the bell and the feel of the bell. And it was it was a very good example to us of the importance of involving people with disability in the Congress. And clearly the bell is normally associated with the sense of hearing, but the sense of touch is part of it as well.
Absolutely. Now, earlier on in our conversation, you mentioned St. Patrick's bell. I didn't know he had a bell. Tell us about that.
Well, it seems that there was more than one. There's one in the National Museum here in Ireland, but the tradition has it that in each place where St. Patrick founded a community, he left them with a bell. A little handbell would have been a very simple and perhaps not extremely tuneful bell, but it was a way of inviting the people to the Eucharist.
That's charming. I didn't know that part of history. Thank you so very much. The sound of the actual bell, it's a very small bell. Does it make can you describe the bell tone? Is it loud?
Are we talking now still about St. Patrick's bell?
No. The actual bronze bell. Yeah.
The tone of the St. Patrick's bell is a little bit like the kind of tone that a bell would have that you'd normally associate with that would be hanging around the neck of a cow, for instance.
Yes.
Kind of like a cowbell. But the Eucharistic Congress bell is like a small church bell, but it has a very rich tone.
Uh-huh.
And people sometimes, when they go up to ring it, they're a little bit surprised by how loud it actually is.
Oh, I see.
It has a very true and pleasing sound.
Oh, beautiful. It sounds so charming. Where will the bell remain after the Congress?
Well, this is something we haven't really explored yet. Technically, it's on loan from the Dominican Sisters, so I suppose the assumption is that it will go back to them. We'd like to think that it wouldn't just disappear, and we have to explore that one a little bit more in detail with the sisters when the time comes, or maybe before the time comes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so very much, Father Kevin, for giving us an update on the bell. Where does the bell go from? It's coming back from Lourdes. It's landing
it's
in Dublin.
It's coming back from Lourdes. It's in some of our parishes here in Dublin. And then after it finishes at the National Ploughing Championships,
it
continues on its journey more towards the southern part of the island.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a schedule which brings it up to the end of February. And then we're already aware that there are expressions of interest from places that haven't had the bell. We hope that the bell will continue to journey until June, when there's a proposal for the bell to be brought into the Congress venue as part of the opening procession of the opening ceremony for the Congress.
Well, thank you very much, Father Kevin, for spending time with us today, and we'll check in on you in a few weeks' time.
You're welcome, Sharon. Thank you very much. God bless now.
Okay, God bless.
Bye-bye.